You are about to enter the pop, pulp, and subcultural minds of several individuals. What may leak into the ether can sometimes be too strange, too confusing for the average human mind. When nerds assemble.
Hello, and welcome to episode 43 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
And we have a guest this week. We are joined by Leanne Hamilton, a comics creator. Say hi, Leanne.
Hello.
He's joining us on this lovely Skype call of dodginess, so we apologise if there's any audio problems, but apparently the UK and Ireland, it seems, do not wish to communicate properly over telephony services over the internet.
Oh dear.
I'm currently being reminded of our experiences of talking to Dear Anthea a few weeks back. But it's fine.
Dear Anthea sounds like it should be, you know, kind of the letters sections. Like
Dear Anthea. Maybe we should get Anthea to do an Agni Ants page.
An excellent sort of meta game on Steam.
I forgot to mention last week that I got invited onto Ono Video Games podcast the other week. That's by the guy, do you guys remember Martin, aka Bionic Sheep? He's been on the podcast a couple of times. He was like, oh, do you want to be on the podcast one Thursday? And I was like, oh, okay. So we'll be linking to their site with the post to go with this. But they're good. They're awesome to listen to. It can get a bit random. They're like talking about dark heresy amongst sort of video games and other sort of role-playing stuff as well. It's just cool.
Dark heresy, is that like...
It's a role-playing game.
Yeah. I was going to make a joke about the Xbox One.
I'm not going to... Oh, God. Okay. So obviously E3 has just started. We all understand this. At the time of recording, it is at the after Xbox One's Microsoft Phil... Oh, God. The thing.
Yeah. Presentation.
The presentation thing.
That was riddled with bugs.
We've decided...
Stage seppuku.
We've decided not to do a blow-by-blow analysis of anything from E3 until next week.
Yeah.
However, I believe the general feeling from individuals on this podcast right now in regards to Microsoft's
Can you just hear this?
There's the...
Facepalm.
To be honest, I was thinking we would go more of the Muck Mode Transformers reviews. Where it's you've got the sound of banging metal.
Beautiful things.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I don't think there are any tickets left, but he is meant to be back down in Cornwall at the Plaza Cinema in Truro in August for a screening of 2001 A Space Odyssey on 35mm.
Ooh.
Last week, when I last heard about whether or not there were tickets available, there were 30 seats out of a 200 plus screen left. I get the feeling by now, if there are any left, you'll be lucky to get them, but it might be worth looking on their website, just for those people who were in Cornwall or planning to holiday in Cornwall that weekend. It's the 24th of August, it's, you know, a thing, could happen. Apparently people holiday down here.
It would be worth it.
It probably would be worth it, because he gives a talk and stuff. So Anyway, I'm getting distracted by less cool things, like the Xbox. So anyway, yeah, we will discuss grievances and whether or not we are convinced by either party, because Sony, at time of recording, their conference isn't for another 4 hours.
Well, it's on that 2/3 a.m. local time here.
Yeah, so for
I'll probably be stupid enough to watch it.
It's okay. We won't think any less of you. We'll just think that you're able to stay awake for insane sort of time. So, you know.
Yeah, I'll just be passing out tomorrow.
It's fine. You can walk whilst and sleep at the same time, can't you, Retroid?
Yes.
Not in. Yeah, so it's fine. It's
the perks of being a vampire.
That's just mean.
I have just
explains a lot.
The legendary edition of Skyrim on Steam. But anyway. I'll just say, in a very short thing, some of the games look nice. £429 in the UK. Launch price in November.
Ow.
which is more than the PS3 was when it was released in 2006.
And money was worth more back then as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So obviously,
his killer instinct.
But it's not going to be the same team that's working on it.
No, I know, but at least they're bringing it back.
No, I like my beat 'em ups and my retro gaming and such, but Killer Instinct was crap at the time.
I liked Killer Instinct.
I have no opinion on Killer Instinct. Because
I just did not get on with it.
Same.
Because the two rare games that I liked from back when they were rare were GoldenEye, Perfect Dark. So.
Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Oh, Conker's Bad Fur Day. Okay, that's it. That's their lot.
They actually did Donkey Kong Country as well.
I've actually played that, but yeah.
Anyway, I think we've got stuff.
Yeah, we do have stuff. And let's start with the huge layoffs at Zynga, as 600 staff has been let go, including the Draw Something studio.
Which is, is it Omen Go Pop Dev guys? They've got a weird name. There's, oh man.
Is it OMG Pop?
They've been all fired by the looks of things. So apparently, Draw Something 2 was released a couple of weeks ago. Who knew? I don't think anyone knew.
was it called Draw Something? Anything? Oh God, please!
Well, I mean, this is an interesting move considering Facebook revenues for its games has actually been up.
Yeah, it's 12% up on the same period the previous year. This is recent results. So clearly Zynga kind of missing huge tricks as to how to make money from the games.
Do anyone else think this is just a proper, I hate to sound like a banker, but a market correction?
It might be. Mm. I think because if you think back to what this time 2 years ago, it was insane, like the amount of money and stuff that was being thrown at them.
Exactly, yeah. But with the Zynga, they print golden money, not just any money like Nintendo. Gold money.
It seems like a far more false "it prints money" situation than that lovely photoshopped image of, is it Reggie and Thingy from Nintendo?
Shigeru Miyamoto.
And there's one of them's got that. Is one of them actually holding the DS?
Yes.
And it's just got money being printed out of it.
I've never understood that, because it's like, well, companies are there to make money, but you're making or taking the mickey because
they're
actually doing well.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't really taking the mickey. It was just they do this and they're hugely successful with it. Mm. They do they produce the Wii, they're hugely successful with it. So, they were pretty much printing money with, those machines.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes. So it was complimentary, but in a sort of jokey way.
I could understand that, but.
So in amongst all this Zynga ways, they've got lots of offices being closed. Obviously, OMG Pop kind of going. Apparently, according to one story that was featured in Eurogamer, there was the ripping and shredding of Zynga hoodies, T-shirts, and perhaps other merchandise in the office.
That's disgusting.
It's just so rude.
Hoodies are usually quite thick. I mean, that's going
to be... Maybe somebody had a pair of scissors and they were kind of starting off. You know, if you want to cut material, you kind of start it off a bit and then you just rip it by hand.
It's either that or they had the Hulk working for them.
They might have had the Hulk. I mean, he would have just put the clothes on. Banner would have just put the clothes on and then just hulked out.
No, he got the
look
news.
Look at his financial results, Banner.
Oh, no!
Obviously, Bruce Banner can never work as a social media game developer. It will go horribly wrong. Or Atari, whenever it resurfaces in somebody else's hands.
Yeah.
Because somebody somewhere owns the IP of just the name Atari.
Can you just imagine, Tony Stark beats him again at Words With Friends and is like,
"Rah!" It's okay, they're science bros.
I wouldn't. Oh, is it dangerous then to play online games with the Hulk? Game in the same room?
To be honest, it's safer playing online games than in the same room.
That's true. So I wouldn't play say we broke out the N64 and like Bruce Banner just happened to be around, we wouldn't play something with him on that N64 like Perfect Dark.
The N64 wouldn't be very good for the Hulk's
But the thing is that we obviously invite Bruce Banner over first, but we're not expecting a Hulk out. We're hoping there isn't going to be a Hulk out.
I think it would be very important if you were playing Mario Kart with him to never fire the shells.
Yes. And to actually let him win. In fact, what I would suggest is you just wouldn't move.
But if you're playing with the computer players and one of them sends a blue shell out for him, there's no stopping it.
Do you know what's interesting though? This hypothetical, non-existent conversation of trying to play video games with a character that's completely fictional. The games themselves actually exist and are indeed perhaps more interesting than that which Zynga produces. I'm sorry, but Farmville. People.
Yeah.
Farmville. And there was a sequel.
Was there?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a Farmville 2. And oh, and the fact that last year there were rumours of them making a Farmville movie.
What?
I've never understood Zynga. I've always thought it's another... Oh, come on, you lot haven't learned, have you? This is another tech bubble. No, one of those .com things. Oh, they're making money from Facebook. Facebook is an arseache, and their stuff is overrated, and most of the time it's ripped off from other companies, allegedly. So I've heard my mate Dave said. Covering
yes, please no lawyers.
Yeah, although they probably won't be able to afford them now. So upside. So there are better companies out there, and for some reason they got showered with glory and money.
But my issue is I just don't understand how people can play Facebook games. I kind of get it for like some of the puzzle games, which it's like, well, they're just the same as the sort of puzzle. You know, Bejeweled existed on a PC without an internet connection prior to Facebook, for instance. I get that. I totally get that. Yeah. What I don't get is something like Farmville, which seems even worse than the old style RuneScape. And RuneScape, that's kind of okay, as far as I can tell. In comparison to Farmville. You'd be better off getting your DS and playing Harvest Moon.
See, you could combine the two and create Farscape.
That would be pretty cool. Or even, you know what, you'd be better off getting a 3DS and just succumbing to Animal Crossing.
It's funny you should mention that, because you know what I got today?
3DS.
I got a 3DS.
I'll tell you what.
Welcome to the club.
An XL.
Ooh.
Oh. Just as a side note, Cookie, because you sent us the code and we can't find the thing to register our 3DS. So you may as well give Retroid the code for now.
Would you like the code, Mr. Retroid?
Are we brokering 3DS on the podcast now? It sounds like it.
No, I haven't told him what the code is. It could be anything.
Hello, are you back?
Yes, I am. Sorry, my internet cut out.
Welcome back, Leanne. Like we said, Ireland and UK, apparently we're not meant to talk to each other. I think it's a conspiracy.
Oh. There's no historical precedent there at all.
No, none whatsoever.
Absolutely none whatsoever. Oh, just aircon has it.
So yeah, that's my advice. If you want to play a Facebook game, there is probably, quite possibly, in fact, almost certainly, a proper version of the kind of game you want to play on a decent console. I mean, for instance, if as anyone here other than myself tried to play the Facebook Walking Dead game, it's the only time I've tried playing a Facebook game.
No.
Walking Dead game?
Yeah, on Facebook.
I think my reaction would be, why?
Apart from the fact that it had deformed character designs, so it wasn't even in keeping with the art style from the comics, and it wasn't realistic, obviously, like the TV series. It was basically, it was just almost like Mafia Wars, but Walking Dead, and it was just like, what's the point?
It sounds like they've just gone, what's popular at the moment?
Yeah, it's... And it was the official game as well. It was properly backed by AMC. And it's just like, I really do need to play, Walking Dead Survival Instinct. And there is potential that that game is actually better than the Facebook game, despite all the criticism it received.
Have you played the adventure yet?
Sorry?
The Adventure. Have you played The Adventure yet?
Which
what is The Adventure?
The Telltale.
Oh, what, do you mean the Telltale's Walking Dead games?
Yeah.
I've played the first episode and part of episode two.
I'm actually really digging it. Even though I'm just watching Emily play it, I'm actually quite digging it because it's very much story-driven and story-based.
Which is funny because they got the BAFTA this year for Best Narrative. So, there we go. I think that's proof enough of why it's such a good game, because the narrative's amazing. I wouldn't necessarily go to town on the controls for the Xbox 360 version, but...
It's all right, but you can kind of tell it was a point and click.
Yeah. Hmm. Moving on from the slow demise, and Zynga's still around, just in case that wasn't sure to anyone. It's just they're hemorrhaging things.
Basically, the figuring out that Facebook is not meant for huge profits in games.
Indeed. Yeah. But we're going to move on now to the looks of Fables could get a film adaptation.
Cool.
That's the comics, right? Not the video games, in case anyone's wondering. That's Fables, not I see. Fable. So
incidentally, while I remember,
yep.
Fable 3 is free today if you're an Xbox Live Gold subscriber.
Yes.
Ooh. I might download it. Maybe.
It's not as good as 2, and it is a bit flawed, but it is still a good game, in my opinion.
It is definitely worth a playthrough. Especially if you can get
it's just not as good.
Actually, going back to what we were discussing the Xbox 360, it was announced that if you have a gold account, then you can actually download, like, it's meant to be 2 free games a month, so they're kind of catching up with...
Yeah, they finally decided to copy PSN Plus.
Starting with Halo 3 and Assassin's Creed 2.
Yep.
Which were great when I played them years ago.
But yeah, the Fables film adaptation is a bit interesting because it's got some of the names from the Harry Potter films attached to it, at least on a producer level.
What, like Harry Potter?
No, it would be interesting. I don't think Harry Potter is enough of a sort of myth to appear in the Fables universe at the moment. It's not 1,000 years from now when people think that we told tales about Harry Potter whilst we're in obviously a post-apocalyptic nuclear holocaust thing, 1,000 years from now, and they think that Harry Potter was a genuine legend, that at one point maybe he was real and there was magic in the world.
And if you're a bad boy or girl, then Thatcher will come and get you.
Yes. The myths of the future. The myths of the future that will come to get us. Fables, it could get, it's looking good for an adaptation. It would probably I would like it to get an adaptation because it would be different to a lot of the comic book adaptations that are happening at the moment. Because it's not a superhero thing.
Yeah.
I like my superheroes, but perhaps I'm having too much of a superhero thing at the moment. You know.
They generally tend to stay kind of safe in that kind of zone.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, they've even obviously done stuff which is superhero, but kind of not at the same time. Stuff like Watchmen and Kick-Ass, where it's like you're not really dealing with people with superpowers, but you're dealing with people that go around and fight crime.
Yes.
So
it could work. It's interesting though that the film adaptation is being talked about now, because obviously many years ago there was the opportunity to make a Fables TV series. I can't remember who it is, but it's the same lot that make Once Upon a Time Now. And obviously it was like, it's always been quite clear that Once Upon a Time exists because they almost went and made Fables, the TV series.
So. And I do reckon it'll be a DS9 Babylon 5 kind of situation.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of similarities.
Shall I elaborate on that?
We'll go on.
Okay.
Okay. Well, basically, the creator of Babylon 5 actually originally went to the guys behind Star Trek with this concept
Paramount
of CBS. Yeah, with this concept of basically Star Trek on a space station, and you know, having like all these like more focused on, you know, kind of multiculturalism or multi-speciesism and
politics
and stuff like that. And basically they refused it, and then lo and behold, like a
bit later, they actually came up with DS9, which was, you know, set on a space station, you know, about integration.
Completely different.
Exactly, yeah. So.
And the other interesting thing is, as soon as the Shadow War started happening in Babylon 5, the Dominion suddenly appeared in DS9.
I didn't realise that those coincided like that.
A little bit, yeah, because there was a big kickoff saying, oh, so-and-so's nicked this and so-and-so. The writer of Babylon 5 actually told us, well, to be fair, these scripts have been done for ages now because it's the whole story arc I did. Mm. We wanted 5 seasons. I wrote 5 seasons. There you go.
Excellent. So, okay, carrying on. BBC are after some Game of Thrones, love. Looking to launch adult fantasy series on BBC Two. Now, when we say adult fantasy series...
I'm sure there's all the fanfic out there.
Yeah. Obviously, we mean, you know, fantasy.
To be honest, Game of Thrones as a TV series doesn't need... There's not much distinction between it and porn a lot of the time.
That's very true.
Now, you know. Although it's that's mostly just nudity. It's not a porny TV show.
No.
There's more genitalia on there than I've seen in some TV series.
Hmm.
I'm going to say right now.
It depends if it's got Ant and Dec on, then that's just a massive set of genitalia on the TV screen.
Jesus Christ, guys.
I don't like them.
I don't think many sane people who try to sort of culture a sense of good taste do.
I should say I've not started my cider yet.
Oh, that's reassuring. Had the watermelon fermented?
Not that I can tell, but you can never be sure.
So are they going to basically just do a sort of X-rated version of EastEnders or something stupid and set it in a fantasy world?
That would be the closest they could get to it, surely.
That would be almost amazing.
Yes, I am. And why the hell am I humping you?
Because there's at the same time Atlantis is meant to be happening in BBC One, obviously becoming the new go-to for Merlin fans and everyone else who's been watching those sort of programs on BBC One on a Saturday.
Obviously not to be confused with Stargate Atlantis.
No.
Which I always do in my head every time I hear it.
Actually, you know what? I just confuse it with the animated film that has Michael J. Fox doing one of the main voices. That's what I confuse it with.
Was that actually called?
You're probably alone there.
No, it was the Disney one, wasn't it?
Was it Disney or Fox? I can never remember.
It was Disney. Atlantis.
It's Disney-esque.
Yeah.
Okay, but Ben Stevenson, BBC drama controller, is responsible for commissioning something suitable.
Apparently he's not keen on actually doing a direct rip of Game of Thrones. And it's like, well, no, of course you're not, because that would involve having a huge... Well, actually, no, scrap it. Perhaps what will happen is that if you consider how dense the Game of Thrones novels are, even though there aren't, in comparison to other fantasy series, that many of them, perhaps what they'll do is they will get the rights to make a TV series of the Wheel of Time series by Mr. Jordan, or former Mr. Jordan, and go from there.
That'd be interesting.
And that was Mr. Jordan going on this motorcycle.
The original author of the Wheel of Time series passed away years ago. We should probably mention a moment the passing.
I was just going to.
The passing of Ian Banks over the past day.
Mm.
He lost his battle with cancer. It wasn't really much of a battle because he did tell everyone, obviously earlier this year, that it was terminal. But it's still sad news.
A great shame.
It is a shame.
Now, it's an opportunity for the Beeb, because people have noticed, you know, him again. Yeah. He's in the public eye. So get one of his Ian M. Bank, sci-fi novels or something.
Mm-hmm.
Adapt one of those. And for God's sake, pass it out to a company which isn't BBC. Because I don't know what it is about the BBC and drama, but they seem to be unable to make anything that's sci-fi or fantasy and not think it's for children.
Do you know who would be good? Who's the production company that makes Misfits for Channel 4?
Oh.
Is that... It's not Big Hat or Top no
Top Hat Productions?
No, Top Hat's the ones that make the sort of comedy shows that it's
Hat Trick.
Yeah, no, that's Hat Trick. Yeah, so I can never remember the name, but the guys that make the company that makes Misfits, they have a good understanding of seriousness with crazy stuff going on that of a slightly, you know, science fiction or indeed fantasy kind of element to it and make it suitable for adults. That could work.
See, I would welcome this if the BBC did this, because half the time when you hear about the viewing figures that American series get, they're not actually that high.
Per head of population.
Yeah. So if you compare it to what the UK could do, and if the UK was going to, you know, if the Beeb was going to make a TV series, it could always take into account, yes, we're making it for, you know, our viewers, and this is the budget. But with the budget, they could take into account foreign sales. It's obvious, you know, the BBC's got in a good pedigree, people would be interested in buying a series that, you know, that they produced.
I think we need to kind of mess about with the format of, you know, kind of series making a bit more. I mean, say, for example, Skins, the first two series, admittedly, Skins has kind of gone downhill from our perspective, but the first two series, weren't they actually written by people of that age?
Yes. Well, they had ideas and a lot of input put into the series.
And I do believe that even one of the guys that was actually involved in it, I think it's Posh Kenneth or something like that. I think I remember sort of like seeing a kind of behind the scenes thing where he actually had an Avid suite and he was the one actually editing it as well. So, you know, just mix it up a bit, you know.
Yeah, well, anyone...
instead of having like the same old, you know, middle-aged white guys, you know, making all decisions.
What would also help is if they didn't stretch it out over one main story point that like happened with the last series of Torchwood.
Yeah,
that would help if they didn't do what happened there. Was that Miracle Day?
Yes, that was.
Yeah, so don't stretch out one plot, a huge plot point over. Was it how many episodes? Was it 6 or 12 in the end?
It seemed like 6 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that when they transferred it to America, though, as well, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
They let the Americans loose on it.
Yeah, although, to be fair, I think that series, that specific season, would have actually helped if they would have had more kind of story in between.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is that they shouldn't follow the example of the last series of Torchwood made, because that's kind of the territory we're in. And perhaps consider not 6 episodes, but let's go for 12 episodes. Let's get that 12 in.
But I mean,
go for the 12.
Other examples of like mixing up the format is stuff like Green Wing, where, you know, everybody was involved in pretty much every part of the script. You've got a model of like Heroes, where each person would actually take a character rather than an episode and actually plot that throughout the series. Let's see. I think there are a couple more. J. Michael Straczynski, he wrote almost the entirety of Babylon 5, so there was a consistent writer.
But then again, that involves having someone with quite an epic vision in order to come up with enough material that's consistent to be able to do that.
Yeah, but I mean, can you imagine what would happen if Moffat actually wrote every episode of Doctor Who? I think it would actually probably be a little bit better. She wouldn't get these like one or two episodes where it's like, you know, kind of nothing really kind of develops the plot arc.
It depends on what the plot arc is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, no, I can see where you're coming from. But
I would also say, hello, we're here. I was just going to say that we wouldn't have this problem if, you know, a certain commissioner on BBC Three hadn't like gone and cancelled something like Fade after it won a BAFTA.
Oh, that was deeply stupid.
Absolutely. I mean, how do they judge success by these shows? Because, I mean, I would have thought, you know, winning an award would be, you know, one of them.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we're just going to... It's like, it was on BBC Three as it was anyway, and it's
what I blame.
And also, it was like, well, it was probably sort of clear at that point that Being Human was going to be coming to its natural end, so that meant they had the potential to lose the... We like a bit of supernatural telly on our telly and its British audience. I know it's a bit niche potentially, but you know,
I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, I liked what I saw.
To be honest, the fact that it was niche means that it worked better on BBC Three.
Yeah. But at the same time, that's what they're going for BBC Two for this as well.
Yeah, I just think BBC Three is the dullards channel. It's if you don't want more than two neurons firing within an hour, go to BBC Three. So I think the Fades was out of place on that channel.
I'm actually tempted to agree with you there. There's not that much that I actually switch on to BBC for. Well, BBC Three, sorry.
Four. this is confusing.
Yeah.
BBC Three, four. What?
So I mean, obviously,
but four's good. What about
I mean, obviously, they've got like repeats and whatnot of stuff like Russell Howard's Good News. That one's quite funny.
But
on the whole, it's...
I'm not going to say that the repeats of Family Guy and American Dad are perhaps value for money. I suspect they're not really value for money. So,
they're not. It's quite a terrible channel.
It's so...
Anyway, I think we should actually move on. So, DC are looking to launch Choose Your Own Adventure-style comics.
Yes! Get in!
It's like I'm back at school in the 1980s again.
Exactly.
This should have been at E3.
It appears to have arisen from the dubious ashes of their Motion Comics ventures. It's going to be digital, obviously. Not a let's turn it by the physical pages.
I tell you what they could actually do. They could do it so that it requires Kinect or, you know, the camera. And then it could get like an electronic pad. And then you could hold it up to the camera and you could pretend to turn the pages of a book.
Actually,
right, okay, all I can say is don't tempt fate.
Actually, I was thinking you'd have to speak either set lines if it was a dialogue option, or if it was a fighting move option, you'd have to reenact in front of the camera the fighting move.
Oh, that would actually be a really cool mechanic if, say, for example...
What's wrong with just saying, if you want him to do this, turn to page 15?
That just doesn't work in this day and age of crazy interactive technology.
Well, I mean, could you imagine it if you actually had to say Shazam at certain parts in the story to actually...
Or you'd curl up and die.
I think that would actually
be fine.
Can you imagine if you're on the bus? Shazam!
Bless you.
Nurse, medication.
That's sort of the next bus stop. It just kind of stops and these people in white coats appear for you.
Oh, I'm reading the comic!
What you'd have to do, though, if it was all electronic, you know, to properly replicate the experience, you know, if you want to continue up the mountain pass, turn to page 15 and then just sort of flick a bit forward to 15, have a look and read so much. Go, oh, no, that's a bad one. It says the end. Right. Go back. Okay, yeah, I'll turn the corner.
Also, there would have to be more opportunities for the characters to die. And at the same time, I believe that none of the material from these comics can become canon.
No, that's true. Obviously, due to the nature of it, I mean, it's a bit like fighting games when you have sequels to stuff and it's like, hold on, he was killed off in the previous game because I remember fighting him and beating him. Same with that guy. It's like, what kind of storyline do you actually take out of something like Tekken? You know,
it's as realistic as wrestling.
Yeah, who's winning in each of, at the end of each game?
Yeah, especially with the whole family of, like, was it Yin's family and all that?
They have one of them lottery machines in the studio, don't they? And they just put the names in and spin it. And it's like, okay, he won, he lives, dies. Right, there you go. Sod what everybody else is doing.
Okay, yeah, we've done this. Okay, Akuma the Bear has won. Wait, what?
By the looks of things, the initial style being chosen is similar to the sort of Batman 66 stuff that's kind of coming out.
With Adam Ward and Burt Ward, yeah.
Perhaps that's how they can get away with it.
It's just going to be cheesy and camp.
Yeah. So, I mean, they wouldn't be able to do it like...
Let's see how...
Turn to page 56 if you want Batman to break this guy's neck.
imagine trying to do an adventure-style comic of, like, I don't know, The Killing Joke. Yeah, let's take a big class. Well, I say big class.
Turn to page 102 if you want Batman to visit the chiropractor.
Turn to page 36
Warning,
if you just want to hang.
Turn to page 24 if Barbara manages to convincingly dodge the bullet fired by the Joker.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then not be disabled. But that you'd have to produce like such a duplicitous kind of comic in order to have all this. It'd be yeah. huge as a file digitally.
Oh, no, they could do this with an origin story and have each of the kind of endings actually correlate in like a different DC universe.
Yeah.
Oh,
you could tie it in with Infinite Crisis, and then eventually you would have had this whole series of comics, and then one of the crises events will happen, and then you'll be able to solve it differently. But the Flash will probably die at some point, and a bunch of other people. It's fine.
Yeah. Can we have Thor die because he's rubbish?
The which one?
Thor.
It's the wrong universe.
Yeah, I know, but I don't really care.
I know. Okay. But then again, I mean, Hal Cannon was the DC Marvel crossover of the 90s where they tried to merge and there was all this stuff.
It's as canon as they decided at the time. Is it?
It's about as canon as Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, I think.
I quite enjoyed that.
That was a really good game.
I quite enjoyed the game, but obviously it can't be regarded as canon.
No.
How about Ball? Cannon and Ball.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Rock on, Tommy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think I'm going to move us on slightly. So,
can I just say though, I am really pleased that they're actually trying to do something a little bit different with the digital comics, and they are actually trying to give it a little twist and stuff.
And going with kind of make your own kind of paths through of story, but sir, is it sir?
He's not a sir.
Mr. Ian Livingston has turned around and said that Nintendo should have their IP on every platform.
So not just their own. Everything.
He says, otherwise a whole generation of young people will miss out on their games. I completely disagree with this point.
I thought you might.
Yeah, for some reason.
I think it would actually be quite cool to see some of their IPs migrate onto other platforms just as a test bed. But if Nintendo is still making consoles, then it's only right that they should be on a Nintendo console, I suppose.
Didn't they do an iOS app of like the Pokédex at one point in the past year or so?
Oh, that was just crap.
Okay. and then there was that one time Pokémon Yellow emulator appeared on the App Store and sold really well until it was taken down.
Yeah, I'll just say I've been playing Nintendo games on non-Nintendo machines for years, but...
Once again, please no lawyers.
Yeah. I will, however, point out that in the 90s, Nintendo did a deal with Philips.
That one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They were great, weren't they? By great, I mean god awful.
They were part of the annals of history.
Yeah.
Yeah. With one N.
I think... For those of the audience unaware again of this monstrosity, can this story be retold?
Okay, I think if you want to go for it.
Well, all I remember because I wasn't unfortunate enough to play them myself, but they did some kind of licensing deal with Philips with its CDI console, which was it was kind of. Well, anything I compare it to will, you know, be dead and buried as well. So it was a CD-based game console / under-the-TV set-top box thing. Before the net was in real use. And the idea was you could use the massive, boundless, limitless storage of CD-ROM, all 600-odd meg, to do these games. So you got live-action Zelda. Games.
Well, it wasn't live action, it was
Live action intro, I think, for one of them. And yeah, there were animated intros as well. They did something like maybe three Zelda games.
Yeah,
but they were all Western produced and they were all god awful. There might have been one that was semi redeemable, but there's a reason why Nintendo have not been in a massive rush to bring them to anything else.
Yeah.
There was some peculiar deal. I have no idea why they actually exist. and anyone who's played them doesn't know either.
I mean, if you kind of look at the 90s kind of cartoon series for both Mario Bros. And
for Zelda. I think Nintendo should kind of keep a very, very tight control of their IPs because they do their games really, really well. And everybody else seems to not.
Just want to cash in with crap.
Yeah.
They had that cartoon with the guy with a Nintendo light gun.
Yes,
and a
Captain
dog.
N.
Captain N, that's the one. Yeah, I quite enjoyed that.
I did when I was a kid, but obviously, you know, it's probably going to be a bit like when I rewatched X-Men, the cartoon series from the 90s, when I'm an adult, and I'm just like, this is terrible. Why did I even like this as a kid?
Do you know what? The Spider-Man series from the 90s is far superior.
Yeah, Batman.
And then far superior to both of those, yeah, with Batman.
Batman, the animated series, was excellent. Yeah. It stands up even today.
But moving back to Nintendo, I can get, because everyone's a bit concerned about Nintendo at the moment because of what's going on with the Wii U or not going on. At the same time, though, handhelds are quite strong still.
Yes.
I was in my local game earlier, and another manager there, he gave me some positive Wii U news.
Oh, what's that?
They sold one last week.
Wow.
I'm not even joking. He was really excited. He sold one last week.
Oh, wow.
They'll pick up on Pikmin 3's out.
Once again, it needs help. Please, Nintendo God.
To be honest,
tomorrow we might actually find out how much help it's going to get.
Oh, yeah. If it's going to change anytime soon this week, it's going to be the week.
Yeah. I like my Wii U more than the concept of an Xbox One at the moment. I like my Wii U more than the concept of PS4 at the moment, but that's a bit borderline because I quite happily played on the Wii whilst having the Xbox 360 at the same time, so I can see a situation where I've got a Wii U and maybe a PS4 at the same time, but I'm still thinking about getting a game PC.
Yeah, I think we're more likely to go for a PS4 if it actually had backwards compatibility with the PS3.
It will.
Or the PSN.
Did you say it will or won't?
I could bet money on it won't. Any backwards compatibility it has, I'd say it will be the cloud.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't mind having backwards compatibility with titles on PSN. That would be nice if the digital titles.
They have a bit of a record of trying to do it in software, so it's possible it could eventually get it. But I'm not.
Everybody's just gone away from backwards compatibility, haven't they?
Yeah.
I don't think it's as much effort to do it as they like to make out, because it's like, well, it's funny because even though it kind of hacks it up a bit, but you can get games working across numerous versions of Windows, funnily enough. I know it's a crazy idea, but and it's not intentional backwards compatibility, but that to me is the equivalent.
But there again, that's emulation of the kind of system. So
yeah. I was just about to say my PS2 has got, my PC has got quite good backwards compatibility with the PS2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thanks to emulation. So I can play the games I legitimately own. It's possible, but whether they consider it worth it when they could just say, oh, if you want a game here, you know, you can play our cloud version.
This cloud thing's getting a bit ridiculous, though.
Especially this cloud computing when it comes to like Microsoft One. It's like the only way that I can envision. Sorry?
You said Microsoft One.
Oh, sorry. Xbox One. My mistake.
Xbone.
That's the next installment of Windows 8. It's the new start button.
But yeah, what was I saying?
You would talk about cloud.
Oh, yeah. Basically, the only way that I can foresee them actually getting around the issue of, oh, wait, there's no internet in this place, or not good enough internet, or, you know, is to basically have a separate box that you plug into the Xbox One, which would kind of make it a bit defunct.
I don't think they'd even bother with it. I just think they'd just rely on cloud. And the fact of the matter is that they're obviously going to be piggybacking off of Azure. And it's like, well, you're not going to screw over all your enterprise customers who you persuade to spend millions on your cloud system every year. And that's sometimes per company. You know, you're not going to fudge them over. It's like, so how much of the capacity is going to be sort of given over to cloud gaming? It's not much.
It's a horrible mess.
I mean, I don't mind storing files like, you know, Google Drive and stuff like that. Storing individual files on...
And save games are very handy in the cloud.
Yeah. Yes. Say, for example, with Steam.
Mm.
But other than that...
One of the first things we talked about on this podcast, one of the first few episodes, On Live. Anyone heard from On Live lately? Crickets.
No, I think I've upset them. I'm not on the Christmas card list anymore.
I recently dropped my On Live box.
Really?
That's the most activity you'd seen in about 2 years.
Did you hurt yourself? Are you okay? Do you need help? Do you need medical attention?
Far less medical attention than On Live need.
Jesus.
I could just imagine you accidentally doing that. It's like, oh, shut up. Ah, it's all right.
Oh, wait, someone's logging in. No, they've just dropped it. You can sit down again.
I mean, we don't know what Sony are going to say more about cloud during this conference. Obviously, the upcoming conference, like later after this recording, but this made me wonder what they're going to say about them and those at Geico. You know, their cloud stuff.
In my ideal world, we're sorry, it was a terrible mistake and huge waste of money.
Can I just say at this point, I've just convinced a friend to buy a PlayStation 2 just yesterday. Because I played a few moments of Persona 4 and she adored it.
Oh, okay.
And that game does come recommended.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I've got Persona 4 or Persona 3.
I have both. I got Persona 4 just a couple of days ago. That's amazing.
I'm looking at my shelves. I can't see the writing enough to tell you.
It just goes to show basically how, you know, gaming has stagnated when, you know, we have PS2 games which are still impressing people.
Yeah.
Yes,
because it was one of the best consoles ever made.
Yeah, we won't have it at better again, you know? I got Eco and Shadow of the Colossus as well in my games library at home. I need to play them properly though, but yes. Seriously, that's why I have a PlayStation 2 in my room, just specifically to play those old games again.
Although they did do the HD versions of Ico and Shadow of the Colossus for PS3.
Yeah, but, you know, my brother owns a PlayStation 3. I hardly ever play it, so that's why I have a PlayStation 2. Might as well have the originals there, so, yeah.
Fair enough. And they are.
Sorry.
It's cool. Our PS2's still out in our living room and occasionally gets booted up, usually whenever I feel like playing Final Fantasy X. Or I really, really like Second Sight, and the PS2's the only console I've got it for.
Mine is still set up, but I'm mostly using it on my PC at the minute. Simply because it makes everything look a bit cleaner. But... yeah, this whole thing with Nintendo should go to other consoles. See, I'm actually the one bringing us back on topic. Be surprised.
We're surprised.
But, yes. I could maybe see it happening in some weird circumstance with the Virtual Console. But I really think they'd probably just keep those two Nintendo formats. They need to do it a hell of a lot better, as we've, you know, gone on countless times previously. But I really don't think when one of the few things that Nintendo can really count on is their own output for their own formats, why would they think about putting those on other formats?
And the thing is that he's not even suggesting that somebody like Microsoft should put Gears of War on somebody else's console, or that Sony should put Uncharted on something else. It's like, no, it's just Nintendo. And it's like, this is just because the money situation isn't fab at the moment. At the same time, licensing their IP onto other systems sounds like you're throwing the baby out of the bathwater a bit.
Yeah.
It's not going to go well when you try to put it all back in the bath.
I think the idea is Nintendo are almost running parallel to mainstream gaming, which they kind of are.
What do you mean by mainstream gaming? Do you mean like core gaming, or do you mean casual gaming?
I'd say mainstream gaming would be people who, you know, pick up newish titles on PS3, 360.
Okay, so that's more kind of core. Obviously, we're using terms that, you know, we don't necessarily agree with, but...
No, there's mainstream, there's core, and there's casual. I would say that the mainstream is people that are like, oh, I just play Call of Duty. That's quite mainstream. Core would be, oh yeah, I play Call of Duty, but then I also put 200 hours into Skyrim and then spent like 10 hours on Thomas Was Alone or something.
May I just say 200 hours in Skyrim?
I've spent I've spent something closer to 250 plus hours on Skyrim.
I think she spent more time on Skyrim than I have on Team Fortress 2, and that's scary.
Shh.
It's worth it, though.
Okay.
But yeah, I'd say mainstream gaming would be, say, consoles with a bit of PC, you know, mixed in. And Nintendo, especially the, you know, the home consoles, say, you know, to a degree Wii, but yeah, definitely with the, you know, the Wii U, because of the weird sort of niche it's got at the minute. They are Nintendo gamers.
Mm.
It's just because if, you know, if little Bobby or little Bobette wants a game that their friend has at school, it's going to be on, you know, 360 or PS3.
I just want to use this moment to admonish the parents in my local area who have children under the age of 18 and they've been allowing them to play the Call of Duty games.
Oh, but they're just games, it's no problem.
Because I had a delightful conversation with a pair of 9-year-olds at my brother's birthday party today, which I sadly got dragged along to because I needed a lift. And they were talking about how, oh, you know, we play Call of Duty, but it's like, what? Do you even realise that? What?
Were they owning noobs?
Well, no, because I managed to see through my sinus headache long enough earlier to just pawn them on the House of the Dead 4 on an arcade machine at a bowling alley.
I think it's still pronounced own, not pawn.
Well, to be honest, the kid that decided to play with me was just like, oh yeah, this is going, it's not going well, I'm dead. And I carried on for a couple more levels, but I was playing 2-player, so it was kind of like not having somebody to back me up. It was kind of cramping my start, so I didn't survive as long as I would normally. But it was just like, you say you play games, you don't play games. 9-year-olds, pa.
They don't know they're born, etc., etc. It was different in our day, etc., etc.
I don't know. I'm just wondering if I should just cause a spate of break-ins in the local area and put parental controls on all the home consoles and then see what happens. And I will be the only person with the pin. You've been warned. People have called me.
If you had a talk with the parents and told them what actually happens in the games, you know they wouldn't be annoyed at themselves. They'd be annoyed at the people who made the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what was the door? It's like, well, it's like films. There's an 18 there, right?
It's because of half-wits like them that we have a double size age rating on the cover of games. You pick up a DVD or a Blu-ray, it's got a little 18 on it. So, such and such a size. You pick up a game, double the size, as if it's screaming, you do know this is for older people, don't you?
Working in retail, it really, really winds me up when people come in with their child and, you know, basically buy an underage game.
Which one is it you want?
I
want Grand Theft Auto 4!
I make a point of saying, you know, it is an age-restricted item. It's like, yeah, I know.
It doesn't matter because, you know, little Bob is, you know, somehow special. And you go, oh, yeah, he's really special.
Okay, would your little boy like some knives with that?
Don't be silly. Those are adults.
And a 10-pack of lighters, 2 cans of, Russell Brew, and 2 cans of spray paint, and maybe some cigarettes, and while we're at it, fireworks. Anything else? Even caffeine's age restricted.
And in the meantime, the little angel is smiling really, really, you know, widely.
Yeah.
Actually, that does remind me. I was in B&M a few days ago because they have fantastic deals on tinned and bottled fruit and things like that. me with my health thing. And there were some kids, maybe about 7, 8. And the mother was talking to a friend and she said, oh, they're such a pain in the ass. And then, you know, bought them some drinks. Bought them energy drinks, didn't she? I was like, there's a reason they're pains in the ass. Shooting them full of caffeine and sugar, you moron. Yeah, give them a coffee. And it's just,
But we went to Costa Coffee a couple of weeks ago. Wasn't they're like a family kind of sat next to us, and wasn't the little kid that must have been like about 7 or 8?
It did not look like hot chocolate that they were drinking. It did look suspiciously like some form of foamy coffee. Yes. Oh, yes, dear. It did.
Well, if they want their lives to be hell, then great. Just so long as it's not anyone else.
I blame these people for the rise of hipsters.
I blame these people for the deterioration of this moral fibre of this country.
I blamed them for the rise of hipsters before it was cool too.
Very good. Very good.
But I suppose maybe this is what Ian Livingstone is trying to save us from, is all these kids playing Modern Warfare because they need Mario on their Xbox 360.
Emily at the wheel of a ship like the Titanic, trying to desperately pull the wheel over away from the iceberg of derailment.
But by the same token, I think with that point, it's kind of moot, because in the end, these kids would not be playing Mario even if it was on an Xbox console.
Yeah, because the parents need to not act like fucking idiots, basically. And I'm very tempted, because I'm very tempted to see if I could do a talk at my local primary school, which is parents only, and explain to them, this is what you're doing. I'll have to use my authority of my degree, my master's, and my games journalism prowess. Maybe they'll listen
to me.
You should
basically just shock them, like show them, you know, kind of not just like video violence and video games and whatnot, but you know, porn and you know, basically all of the, you know,
it's a gateway drug.
When is this right taking place? Do you have to have a child enrolled in the school?
My brother's there. So, you know, I'll just do the...
I was suggesting if there was footage of naughtiness, I would attend.
Sorry.
If you see what I was doing there.
I wish that I didn't.
But no, it's just annoying, and it's... Maybe I would have to do, like, a slideshow of, like, how to set up parental controls on the Xbox 360 and the PS3. We won't have to worry about the Wii, because hardly anyone bought the 18 rated games for the Wii, and I doubt anyone's got theirs got a Wii U, so we won't do the parental controls for the Wii U.
Or anyone got a Wii U.
Or you could shock them with the images of what goes on in the games and say, you know, I'll set up the parental controls for a fee.
I could pitch it like that, but not tell the school that I'm trying to, like, pitch for business there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tell them that, you know, I'll set them up, but I won't let the kids know how to undo it for a fee.
Obviously, though, the thing is that, like, the kids have got away with, like, setting up potentially Xbox Silver or Gold accounts somehow in the interim, either on their parents' email addresses or their own, which in a lot of instances, well, if you're 9, you can't actually have, in most cases, any form of online account without explicit permission from your parent or guardian. Yep, so who set up these accounts for them? The kids were allowed to do it by themselves.
Signing up to these services is basically a contract, and in order to enter a contract, you have to be 18.
Yeah. 16 in some cases, but mostly 18, yes. Anyway, Nintendo.
Yep, so, that's basically it from, like, us about Nintendo and whatnot. Now we're going to grill the app.
It's not going to happen.
Well, we say we're going to grill Leanne. I mean, I like to think we're going to politely talk with her about her amazing comics.
Perhaps steadily roast and marinate.
Yeah, I was going to make a joke about, you know, the one calorie spray. Let's not.
I'm scared now.
It's fine. It's fine. Just,
run for your life.
It's either that or... we just kind of just imagine in our heads the Mastermind music. So the
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Mastermind. So that kind of like music just kind of playing in our heads as we try to question.
You have 60 seconds. 60 seconds to answer these questions.
I can just see the countdown clock.
Okay. Speaking of did I ever tell any of you about my horrific experience of playing Countdown the video game on the Wii for a review?
Was it Wii or 3DS?
First of all, hang on. There's a Countdown video game?
Yes.
Second of all, what the hell?
Really?
Yeah, it was really, really...
I'm pretty sure it was for the
DS. No, it was on the Wii. No, it was on the Wii.
Yeah,
it was
on...
So I trust Emily's trauma.
I was playing it for a review many moons ago, and it was nothing like the TV show. They didn't bother to put any ads.
How can they manage that? It's Countdown, for God's sake.
Basically, it had obviously all the here's a word thing, here's a numbers thing. We're not going to have any people visible on it. We're not going to treat you like a contestant. It's like you're playing along with the TV at home without any people actually presenting the show to you in the first place.
It sounds like it could have been done in Flash.
It probably was originally made in Flash.
It's almost as though you broke into the Countdown studio, just basically did everything yourself.
Countdown. Anyway, Leanne.
And then cried because you realised what you were
Leanne,
doing.
Leanne, and comics, Leanne.
Sorry.
Comics, yes. Leanne.
Okay.
I don't think that derailment was my fault then, but never mind.
Sorry.
Could you please explain your comic series Fish and Finn to our listeners?
Finn and Fish.
So, what did I say?
You said Fish and Finn. It's Finn and Fish.
Sorry, Finn and Fish. My mistake.
Okay. I might waffle on a bit about it, so if I do, please stop me.
But trust me, anyone else waffling is fine.
Yep.
Okay. Well, Finn and Fish is my comic. I publish it myself. I started it in 2008 after reading like a book on Irish legends. And a lot of these legends kind of feature very kind of muscular, perfect heroes with magic abilities, and they win every fight and don't learn anything new from it. And I kind of got sick of the idea and turned the idea on its head. So I picked Finn McCool, who's like a big figure in Irish mythology. And I picked a local legend of the Salmon of Knowledge, or the Salmon of Wisdom. It's where Finn McCool went to a teacher called Finnegas, who was fishing at the edge of the River Boyne. Fished out this salmon who's supposed to be imbued with magic powers. And anyone who eats the salmon will get get a power to see into the future. And while Finnegas put the salmon on the spit, he asks Finn to look after it. And all of a sudden, the fire kind of like spits out a bit, and the salmon is like frying away, and it kind of spits out some fat on Finn's tongue. He sucks his cut and essentially tastes the salmon and gets all the psychic powers from it. But that's basically the local legend. But it's where I've kind of adapted that into Finn gets cursed by the salmon's personality, who's a bit of an arsehole. And
I'm liking the sound of this.
Okay. Well, I'm not waffling too much now. But it's basically that legend. It starts off with that legend where Finn, he is originally like raised in the woods, like to be a good hunter and a good warrior. But he needs to learn the last skill of poetry in order to join a force called the Fina. And the salmon's going to help him do that, making him suffer for his art. And Finn kind of goes around being pestered by salmon and trying to get work as well, being a warrior, being, a runner guy, and hopefully learning something from their masters and hopefully learning poetry. So it's a whole series of stories basically about that. And they just take place throughout his whole life. I hope this makes sense, really. Thank you. But yeah, that's all I can mention so far. It's got a cute deer girl in it called Sav as well.
Okay.
Anyway, yes.
Is it something that's kind of continuing on?
Currently, yes. I started it properly in 2010, and between kind of the long jobs that I've had, I've worked in a couple of animation studios since. I've kind of been releasing one a year, and I released two last year. And then this year I've kind of printed a collected graphic novel version of four issues of Finn and Fish so far.
Excellent.
So, and I'm going to probably bring out a fifth issue by end of June or July.
Cool.
Okay.
So, yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. What inspired you to create it?
Other than the myths.
The myths. Yeah, it's probably, well, I kind of first drew up the ideas after kind of a particularly rough time in terms of my comic, like getting a career in comics. But I went back to college. I studied in Wales for about a year and got a bachelor's degree in graphic design. And then when I came back home, I wasn't really doing anything or employed anywhere. So that's when I kind of got me head down and actually drew this comic. What inspired me was just like, you know, I loved comics and I grew up like reading them, like stuff like Sonic the Comic. You have an old Sparky annual as well that inspired my artwork ages ago. And I read a lot of manga and a lot of American stuff. Like, you know, I've read comics from everywhere and I really just wanted to get my own stuff in print. So, the thing is about like Irish mythology over here, it's kind of like a handy touchstone, you know, to inspire, you know, for other writers to write their own takes about the legends and stuff like that. Yeah. And Finn and Fish is just one of them. So, yes.
Okay. I mean, it sounds, similar to kind of Cornish legends. Oh,
yeah.
Whatnot.
But I don't want to go talk about no giants here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to ask, you mentioned your animation work. Is there anything there you can talk about? That sounds interesting.
Okay. Well, I've worked in an animation studio. The first job I had isn't particularly an animation project, but the second one was. Have you ever heard of the toddler show Baby Jake?
Yes.
Oh. I've made a few of the backgrounds for the second series. So that's what I've
Very
done.
Cool.
Thank cool. you. You know, it's just work. You know, but I got hired on that and it paid pretty well, so.
After Finn and Fish, if there is ever going to be an after Finn and Fish, are there any other kind of comics projects that you're kind of beavering away on?
Okay, very slowly I am. First thing I'm working on is a short strip for Sonic the Comic Online. And they've recently celebrated the 20th anniversary of his publication a couple of weeks ago. And they've gotten like all the old artists on board and stuff to write new stories. And there's a lot of celebration over there. And the comic I'm kind of working on is due this year, so I've got plenty of time to do it, is a Space Channel 5 comic.
Ooh.
Yes.
Nice.
Another project I'm working on is Chroma, along with Antia as well. She's one of the artists working on it. I'm working on that. And hopefully by around August or September, I'm working on a webcomic called Things Happened. Over on the coolbean.net, that's my personal website. And Things Happened is, in short, set on an alien planet where the characters pawn their limbs or their organs for a better chance at life. That's all I can say for it.
Okay.
Sounds interesting.
Okay. And I might put Finn and Fish on a small hiatus after the fifth issue and kind of work on a graphic novel for it instead. But at the moment now, I want to kind of put out more diverse kind of comics other than Finn and Fish, like little one-shots. I'm currently designing some little badges for some upcoming conventions, and they're basically cute little tiny kittens on top of very big things. Like so far I've drawn like a kitten playing in a giant ice cream cone and another kitten just wearing a giant hat. So I might do a comic series based on them, like, you know, for children.
I know this is a bit of a broad one, but can you describe your creative process?
Oh, dear.
you just want to torture like we did Anthony last month.
Sure. What is life, really?
What is life?
Please explain.
I think, okay, we are all meant to die. That is it. Okay, that was terrible. creative process. It's a bit more all over the place. I don't really type out a script as such in advance, but what I've been doing so far that's kind of worked is kind of like jot down the scenes that I want to see in my comic. Okay. And write down the dialogue beside it and then kind of go back and sketch it in the final artwork when I'm trying to plot out my pages. And kind of, yeah, I pencil them, I ink them traditionally, I scan them to do some tone work and letter all the dialogue and stuff. And then after I paint a cover, I send it off to the printer to help to have it printed out. Okay. Sorry if it sounds very mechanical, though.
Handwritten lettering or computer lettering?
I use computer lettering. Although I wish I could use hand lettering if I could. Okay. But yes.
Why is that?
I don't know. I like it. It's kind of therapeutic when you kind of put more labor into your pages, really, I think. And plus, I was a really big fan of calligraphy when I was a kid, so it would be really interesting. I might consider it for Things Happen, though. Hmm. Like, just write all the dialogue and just elaborate calligraphy, maybe. But that's still up in the air at the moment, though. I'd love to do it, though. Hmm. Yeah.
anybody have any other questions?
I'm sorry this has been so short, though.
No, that's absolutely fine.
We've had lots of conversation that we don't like to put people more on the spot than we have to.
Well, speak for yourself.
I'm just sitting here being annoyed that there are all these cool sounding fables.
Yeah.
And you know, you kind of get, you know, the same ones over and over again.
We sort of have that problem over here, though, as well.
I think you would, but that sounds more interesting than a lot of the ones that, you know, been hammered into my head over years.
It also helps that, you know, Arlen's got, like, at least a patron saint that sounds like he did something that's a little bit more believable than, like, killing a dragon. I hear that helps. And then there's just the evidence to suggest that dear St. George wasn't even, you know, actually from this part of the world, but was probably from, like, the other side of the English Channel.
It's any consolation, St. Patrick was actually Welsh.
He was closer to you, I think, you know, geographically.
he was first brought here as a slave, apparently.
Then he
escaped back to Wales, and then God told him or something like that to go back to Ireland to convert everybody, so that's what he did.
What are you doing? Get back there.
I think somehow we've managed to get into a your patron saint is better than ours argument. And I'm not entirely sure how this has happened.
Oh, well, there's the whole thing. I just want to bring in St. Piran for a moment and go, oh, he apparently rediscovered how to make tin from ore. That's his thing. And then also converted a whole load of the population of Cornwall. As you do.
What, into tin?
No, apparently into Christians. That was
probably quite awesome.
So.
And then the Wizard of Oz was born with the Tin Man.
Yes. Okay, we seem to have lost Leanne. Awesome.
I'm back.
You are back. Oh. Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
It's the patron saints fighting down the internet pipes.
Yes, that's what it is. Cornwall does have a lot of legends and stuff, but it's been so long since I've looked at any of them. I did do a school project many years ago in primary school about Cornish legends, but it's all just like, it's mermaids, giants, piskies, you know, knockers.
Silence here.
Are you still eating that watermelon?
The fermented watermelon.
I've finished now, actually.
But,
I was going to basically say that it sounds like you're taking, like, the old legends that, you know, have been kind of done to death, and how do you put a spin on them that's original enough to be, you know, kind of interesting again?
Just by having a very bitter sense of humour.
I'm assuming having character development also helps. Like, does Finn learn from what?
Yes, I want him to learn.
Yeah.
And he looks, well, I've seen other artists draw Finn McCool as very kind of muscular, very blonde. Kind of like the sort of guy that make Conan the Barbarian look a bit virginial. But this one I've drawn is rather skinny and rather bitchy at best of times.
Brilliant.
So yes. like you said there, there are good few takes on Irish legend over here. There was a iPad game called The Legend of Coo or something like that, or Coo, The Legend of the Morrigan, and it was a iPad game. Mm-hmm. And it was like taking the story of Coo Cullen, but making him as a kid and a set into this weird kind of steampunk future. And another take on Coo Cullen recently was this graphic novel called Celtic Warrior, I think. The Legend of Coo Cullen. It was drawn by Will Sliney, and it got a lot of publicity over here as well. Will Sliney is also an artist for, I think he worked with Marvel Comics.
Okay.
Ooh.
So he's recently done like a big graphic novel edition of it. Now I have to properly yet read it now. Okay. But it's been getting a lot of fanfare over here.
Cool.
But yes.
Okay. Well, we've discussed with Anthea about like what's coming up in the comic circuit in Ireland. Is there any other kind of comments that you wanted to kind of make about
if you have a chance to? Well actually, do you know what? Well, do you know what? I think the most important question is: are there any cons in Ireland or the UK or anywhere you're going to be at this year that people can say hi, maybe buy some of your work?
Okay. I was just at 2D Festival in Derry last week.
Okay.
And that was pretty awesome. I'm going to QCon in Belfast in the next couple of weeks. And I'm going to the convention the weekend after that called ArcadeCon in Dublin. Okay. And then the week after that, I'll be at BroCon in Limerick. And recently, I've gotten a table for NomCon in Dublin again in August. And I've applied for Airtacon. Oh, yeah, and I'll be a guest at OctaCon as well.
No. Okay.
So, yes, sorry. Cool. People, there's a lot here.
Yeah. People can track you down and say, hey, and then read your stuff and buy it, yes. Obviously. That would be
hopefully
good.
Hopefully buy it. Yeah. Mostly buy it.
Yeah, mostly buy it.
Yes.
Is there kind of any other way of, apart from like going to the cons, that we can buy your work?
You can directly message me. I'm on thecoolbean.net. And if you send an email to admin@thecoolbean.net, you can probably just ask for a copy. By me, like I'll just sell them directly to you.
Okay.
Say, you know, do pay them by PayPal. Like they're about €10 each, which is about £8.50 in the Queen's money. But yeah, and I think delivery to the UK would cost an extra €3.30, which is about £3 anyway. Either way.
Okay. So about £11.
It's looking good. Yeah.
Cool.
Excellent.
So, all right. So that's okay.
Okay.
They're also stocked in Forbidden Planet Dublin as well.
Okay.
So far it's only in Dublin comic book shops I've stocked them in. Okay. Like I'd love to stock some in the UK though. I'd have to kind of
advance. Yeah, talk to some people to get some distribution.
Sorry, you sounded a little bit robotic there because I think the data rates kind of went a bit crazy.
Oh dear.
Okay, well, I think before technology decides to crap out on us completely, that we should probably say goodbye.
Yep. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
So if we can goodbye from you, Liam.
Goodbye, everybody.
Okay, is there anything that you want to plug, like any websites? Just or...
Oh, sorry, I should. Yes, yeah. I should. Anthea has recently reprinted The Earthbound God with a new cover and a new printer, and the new book looks gorgeous. And you should buy that from her too.
Okay.
We're still kind of working on Chroma, and we might be doing another new fundraiser for it soon. And everyone should go read Sonic the Comic online because my work will be on it in the next few months as well.
Okay.
Cool. And I want you readers and feedback on it. That's all I can really think of so far. I'll feel terrible if I miss out on people.
Okay. All right. Well, so it's good night from.
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
And it's good night from me, Paul, aka OneArmed_Cookie on Twitter. And you can also find me lurking around thegamejar.com.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett. I have a website, paul-blewett.com, and I'm on Twitter as Paul Blewett.
And it's good night from me, Emily King. You can find me on Twitter at EK6891. You can also maybe go stalk around drowninginmultimedia.co.uk. You can find Nerds Assemble, of course, over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. We're also available on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter at Nerds Podcast, plus on Facebook and Google Plus under Nerds Assemble Podcast. We might be lurking somewhere on Pinterest. I think that's everything I can think of where you want to stalk us, maybe. just maybe.
We have stalks. Maybe.
I don't know. Feed burner would kind of indicate that we've at least got listeners. Whether or not they've, you know, elevated to full stalker level is another matter altogether.
Is that the hierarchy you go from listener to stalker? Is there anything in between?
Fan?
What is that outside my window?
I was going to say, I have just checked it, and there are a few dodgy people at Bargain Booze, but I think they're just alcoholics.
I've just opened our window. There's 30 followers out there. Sorry.
Who's Twitter?
That is all we've got time for. So good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.